You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Residents in Wisconsin were shocked when one of their statewide newspapers carried the headline stating that there is no evidence that Jesus Christ ever lived. In light of current major publications of world history, it is incredible that a respected newspaper would print such a falsehood, especially as a headline. On almost any day of the week, in almost any major city of the United States or Canada, shoppers can enter large bookstores which are part of national chains, such as B. Dalton Bookseller or Walden Books or Kohl's or W.H. Smith. These bookstores carry the latest up-to-date copies of world history. And in a recent examination of these books, I have found that the authors of most of these one-volume histories are not sympathetic toward the Christian faith. In fact, gauging by the editorial comments in their work, it is apparent that these authors of history have no personal interest whatsoever in the Christian faith. And yet, out of academic honesty, these same scholars openly admit that no one can deny that Jesus Christ did exist. Jesus was a man of history, and yes, these secular historians agree, Jesus actually lived. And his words and his deeds have made a tremendous impact on the society in which we live. For instance, in the book entitled An Illustrated Short History of the World, authored by H.G. Wells, first published in 1927 and updated in 1987, when talking about Jesus, the author says, "Here was a man. This Jesus," says the author, "or this personality, could not have been invented." Also in the book The Pelican History of the World, published in 1987, the historian author, even though he clearly implies that he is not interested in the Christian faith, nevertheless, because of the overwhelming historical evidence available regarding Jesus, this author candidly states that Jesus is not a myth or a fairy tale. Jesus is a true person of history. Therefore, it is fair to say that it is absolutely foolhardy for any newspaper or magazine to headline a story trying to promote the falsehood that there is no evidence that Jesus existed. Of course, there are those who admit, reluctantly, that Jesus was a real person of history. However, they then quickly add, "But Jesus was only a man, and when he died, Jesus died like all other men." Then they conclude, "So what is all this fuss about the resurrection of Jesus, and what does it matter anyway?" In response to this, we say, "It matters much. Jesus did die, but on the third day he rose again from the dead. This resurrection event separates Jesus from all other men that have ever lived. So important has been the true doctrine of the miraculous resurrection of Jesus from the dead that biblical scholars, preachers, and teachers for centuries have proclaimed with confidence and joy the biblical evidence of a miraculous, crucified, and living Jesus as recorded in the Bible." And what evidence do we have, some might ask, to make such a profound announcement regarding the truthfulness and the certainty of the resurrection from the dead? In the 21st chapter of his gospel, St. John the Apostle writes that after his resurrection, note that after Jesus' resurrection, the Savior then reappeared to Peter and to Thomas and to Nathanael, to James and to John, and then to two other disciples as they were fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. This post-resurrection appearance of the resurrected Savior, the apostle points out, was the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This was, as St. John the Apostle points out, a third appearance or manifestation. But this does not mean, then, that Jesus' post-resurrection appearances were limited only to three. The sacred scriptures record additional appearances. For example, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and he appeared also to Peter, and then to the two disciples at Emmaus. But the crowning evidence of all these positive arguments defending the resurrection of Jesus Christ, however, was that one marvelous observation made by the Apostle Paul. This zealous missionary, this energetic apologist for the true faith, abolishes all doubts regarding the resurrection of Jesus when he states in 1 Corinthians that Jesus appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then to more than 500 people at one time after he was raised from the dead. Thus, it is absolutely impossible for anybody, even in our so-called modern society, to effectively deny the resurrection of Jesus. One person might be deluded. Two people might even be hoodwinked. But the Holy Scriptures record that Jesus was seen, yes, he was seen by over 500 people at one time after he was raised from the dead. Now in our generation, it may appear to some as a bit absurd to spend so much time and effort proclaiming, through preaching and teaching, the fact that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. But to the members of the early church, it was different. It was entirely different. We might honestly say that for these early Christians, the controversy of whether Jesus rose from the dead, yes, the arguments over the resurrection, spell the difference between life and death. For instance, in the year 303 AD, under the reign of the Roman Emperor Diocletian, a great persecution broke out against the Christians. All churches throughout the empire were to be destroyed. All Bibles were to be burned. And all those who would not give up their faith were to be persecuted. Many of the Christians, however, stood firm. They refused to cave in to the demands of the atheistic dictator, and so more drastic measures became government policy. Christians were hunted down like wild animals. Clergy were imprisoned, and whole villages were burned. Christians who refused to give up their faith in God paid with their own blood. Now try to imagine yourself in this situation. Let us say that the government under which you now live would suddenly become aggressively anti-Christian. As a believer in the Lord Jesus, you would be in a difficult situation, to say the least. Either you would have to denounce your faith, or you would face execution. And in such a situation, there is little doubt that many fundamental questions of religion and of the faith and of hope would quickly race through your mind. Is the Christian faith really true, you might ask? What is it based upon? And if the faith is based upon the resurrection of Jesus, then is the resurrection itself true? Did Jesus Christ really exist? Was he actually crucified? Was Jesus raised from the dead? How does anybody know for sure? And did anybody see Jesus after his crucifixion? Putting yourself in this place, it is easy to see that the teaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was absolutely crucial to the everyday life of the early Christians. And if the resurrection was only a myth, then their faith could be conveniently discarded, and the constant threat of death would be removed, and their lives would be spared, at least for the moment. However, if the resurrection was true, then the entire faith was real, and these early martyrs realized that no sacrifice would be too great, including death itself, so that they might inherit everlasting life. Some say that the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is today an outdated myth. But in the world in which we live, even many famous personalities are now openly confessing their personal struggle. They confess their inability to find meaning in life. This flailing for meaning provides a clear signal that the doctrine of the resurrection is now more necessary than at any other time in history. As 1989 came to a close, so also did the life of a famous literary figure named Samuel Beckett. All major magazines and newspapers carried lengthy articles on his death. Some say that Beckett was the greatest playwright in the 20th century. But if Beckett's secular reputation deserves world fame, then his destitute spiritual condition deserves our greatest pity. After enjoying his youth, Beckett's attitude in life began to change. Life for him began to seem more and more like an endless, bitter experience of hopelessness. How similar to the life of many today. Beckett's most famous play was called Waiting for Godot. And this much-talked-about drama featured two tramps who waited and waited for a savior. But the savior never, ever came. And this drama was a reflection of the attitude held by Beckett himself. As he continued in life, it became increasingly hopeless for him. Oh, how sad it is that this world-famous playwright found it impossible to humble himself and to, by faith, to acknowledge that it is Jesus and the Savior's resurrection that can give meaning in life. If a person does not know how to die, then this same person does not know how to live. If the doctrine of the resurrection offers meaning to adults and others, such as famous playwrights, who contemplate the meaning of life and death, then we must ask the question, what about teenagers? Does the resurrection today have anything to say to young people? U.S. News and World Report magazine, in a section entitled Vital Statistics, displayed a colorful chart which indicated the current fears and the concerns of today's teenagers. Some young people confessed that their greatest worry was their grades in school, and others said that they were most anxious about finding a good job. But the greatest fear, now listen to this, it may surprise you that the greatest fear of all teenagers today, according to the magazine survey, was the fear that their fathers and their mothers might die. From the mail we receive, we know that teenagers and young people do listen to our gospel broadcasts of hope and help in Jesus Christ. And so if you today are a young person worried about the possibility of the death of your parents, today's uplifting and encouraging message from God is for you. We pray that it does not happen, that death does not suddenly come to one of your parents. But it might happen, that one of your parents could be suddenly taken from you through illness or accident. And even if this, the worst, should happen, God is offering you hope. After his own son was crucified, yes, after God's son was crucified on the cross, God raised Jesus from the dead. And so also, even if your parents should die, if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they die trusting in the soul-saving power of the Savior, then don't worry. Instead, by faith, cling tightly to the promise that Jesus, the resurrected Messiah himself, spoke when he said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." Not long ago, in a letter to the editor of the prestigious British magazine called The Economist, a reader wrote, saying, "It is plain as day that the resurrection of Jesus Christ and other Bible stories do not represent reality. There is little to be gained," he said, "by perpetuating these stories. People today," he concluded, "are not going to accept theories such as the resurrection that are manifestly false." Our response to this skeptic and blasphemer of the resurrection is baloney. This arrogant writer himself does not know what reality is all about. This pitiful soul is apparently unaware of the great need of the hope of the resurrection from the dead. This hope is needed for the rich and also for the poor, for people that nobody knows, and also for presidents and even kings. In the closing weeks of 1989, Time magazine reported that Gloria Carter Spann, the sister of President Jimmy Carter, was suffering from cancer of the pancreas. This is the same affliction which took the life of President Carter's brother Billy, his sister Ruth, and also his father James. And it also contributed, Time magazine stated, to the death of his mother Lillian. No matter what our political persuasion might be, one can only have the greatest compassion for the Carter family. For without the hope of the resurrection from the dead, such a dismal record of cancer in one family has the power to break the spirit of the strongest individual. And in light of this, it is incredible then that anybody would write a letter today to a magazine trying to argue that the resurrection is irrelevant. The resurrection today is as relevant as it was when the prophet Job, centuries and centuries ago, asked the most important question in life. Job asked, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" And the answer to that question is yes. The answer is yes. Yes, if any man dies trusting in the sin-cleansing blood and the soul-saving power of the crucified and resurrected Savior, he shall be raised unto life everlasting on the last day. This is what Jesus promised, and these are words of truth. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event in history. Skeptics may doubt it, but they cannot deny it. And the Lord's Easter resurrection gave new life to disillusioned disciples 3 days after the Messiah was murdered. Confidence in Christ and his reliable resurrection enabled early Christians to face the fiery trials of bitter persecution and even bloody death. And so also for you today, faith in the resurrection has the power to turn your life around. With the assurance of a certain tomorrow and the confidence of an endless and bliss-filled eternity, launch ahead with the confidence of a Christian for this life. Turn away from those who would spin stories of gloom and doom and a hopeless future, and instead, with total trust and complete faith in the crucified and resurrected Christ, decide now that you are going to face every day with a heart filled with hope. Start on a new road and leave behind all those who would belittle or reject the Savior, and instead go with him with the hand of faith. Grasp unto Jesus in this life, so that when your last hour shall come, this same Jesus, this same Savior, shall be with you to console you, to encourage you, and to welcome you into the life to come. Finally, then, may I encourage you again, by faith, to cling tightly to the blessed Redeemer. For when you do, then the Spirit of God shall assure your heart of the hope of heaven. And God shall also then prepare your ears to hear the Savior speak to you on the final day of judgment, when he says, "Arise, arise from the dead. Death has no more power over you." Then the Savior shall welcome you into the eternal bliss of the Heavenly Father's house forevermore. O Lord, grant this resurrection hope unto all those who are listening at this moment. For with a joy-filled mind and a hope-filled heart, we believe the eternal words of Jesus when he said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." Dear friends, this is our unchanging, unshakable, and totally reliable hope of heaven. It is all based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen.